happening in this country. You have to realize that our constitutional system is, it's gone. It was gone with the Patriot Act after 9/11. It's gone. We have nameless, faceless bureaucrats that are deciding foreign policy. They're deciding domestic policy. They're deciding everything for us without any input from the will of the people. Trump is the first one to come down the pike in a long time to try to change the paradigm and how we work on these things. And the resistance he's getting is fierce. And I really don't understand it. Because if the people who are opposing him were raised in the same America that I was, why would they want to take us into a more Soviet-style system? It's almost like the United States lost its position as the bastion of democracy and freedom and liberty, and we've become the new Soviet Union. And I agree with Richard Dolan in his opinion that there is a breakaway civilization living among us. And that the missing $21 trillion that our government can't account for, 6.8 to the Pentagon, in addition to the 2.3 that disappeared the day before 9/11, that these things are funding these initiatives, off-world initiatives, I'll say it.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.
But let me go back to my core point here. My core point is that these programs have been set up as a way to keep people in the permanent underclass, because they cannot compete. They're never going to be able to compete. Nobody wants to talk about the differences of the races, but there are differences among how different racial groups do different things. I'm not saying anyone's
better. You
mean better,
culturally? Culturally.
Genetically.
Okay.
We're all told.
Well, we have different bloodlines. We have different things.
Exactly. I mean, do you treat a Chihuahua the same way you treat a Great Dane? And, you know, this can be documented because, you know, pharmaceutical products have different recommendations if you're Caucasian, if you're Asian, if you're Negro. They have different recommendations how the medicine is administered, the quantities, the dosages, all that goes with it. We have to own the fact that we're all human. But we have differences
among us. But we have genetic difference, just like male and females are genetically different.
It's like, you know, a white athlete and a black athlete, different composures of fast and slow twitch muscles. I mean, you can take a core sample of muscle, you put it under the electron microscope. Yep, this guy must be black because he's got more fast twitch. This guy must be white because he has more slow twitch. You can tell the differences. But nobody wants to talk about that. All they want to talk about is that we're all equal. And the mistake is that we're all the same.
Well, the equal is different than same. So when I say equal, I'm saying equal value.
Equal value, and we all should be afforded equal opportunity to succeed to the best of our ability. Okay? I mean, if I want to go try out for the NBA, I should be allowed to try out. If I succeed or fail, that's up to me. But I should be given the chance if I think I've got the bandwidth for it. You know, I shouldn't be held up. Oh, you're a white guy. Get out of here. White guys can't jump. Go away. That shouldn't happen to anybody anywhere. And everybody should be given the chance in those few slots that we have in professional sports, in medicine, in PhD programs, in graduate school. They should be given to the people who have the greatest capabilities to succeed academically or athletically or in any other metric you want to measure by. But everyone should be given an equal chance. But what we're being told by the far left and the cultural Marxists are, you're not just equal, but you're all the same.
That is
a meme that we have to counter, that there that we're not the same, that we are different.
But we have to do it in a more evolved way. The problem is they're so fearful of going there because traditionally
you are
different. Any
hint.
But traditionally it's been used against people to discriminate, and that we can't do that either. We have to just be honest about certain things. But, you know, when it comes to men and women, you know, because I get affected by that. And sometimes those stereotypes can create an idea and cause the group to be less. And so we have to make sure that we don't, you know, people are stupid, like you said. And stereotypes can make people behave in ways that aren't in their best interest. And so it happens all over the world in all different ways. And so we just need to evolve.
We need to grow up. I mean, we need to start looking at facts. Let me give you a hypothetical question. This is for your listeners too. If you're diagnosed with a brain tumor and you have to go into the hospital to have that tumor removed, do you want the black doctor to operate on you? Do you want the white doctor to operate on you? Or do you want the Asian to operate on you? Which one are you going to trust to cut open your skull and operate on the tumor, knowing what we know in this country about affirmative action and all that goes with it?
Well, so, with stereotypes, but I would want to know who's the best. I'm sorry. I don't give a crap what color you are.
You're not given that because that's all protected information. You can't look at who is the best. You can't look at their academic scores and grades.
Well, then we all go to the Asian, right? But that's not right. Asian. We should be going to the best. Because I've had to tutor Asians before who couldn't understand computer science and abstract concepts. I know every group has their smarties and their dummies.
The thing is, the Asian, if you made it through medical school, he'd probably be the best guy because they're the most discriminated against in admissions.
That's
what the Harvard lawsuit is about right now. It's about because Asians are underrepresented at so many higher education facilities, you know, universities and the like.
They are
discriminated against because they could produce people who were extremely capable. And so, you know, who do you pick? That's a great question. Something everyone should ask themselves. Or better yet, don't make it for you. Make it for your child. Your child has to go and have a brain tumor removed. Who do you want to work on them? Or her.
Well, and I just want the best person. But part of the thing with Asian is their culture, they value education to an extreme. They all have tutors. We don't value education to the same degree. So if we did, if our culture valued that, would it be different? You know, that's why the culture thing is
I'll tell you a story. I was guest in the home of a gentleman who was a brigadier general for Chiang Kai-shek in Taiwan when they were withdrawing out of China when the communists were taking over. And he was living up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was guest at his house a number of times for business transactions. And every time I was there, the child had a different tutor with him. Every time a different tutor because they emphasized the importance of education.
Totally different than here.
Yeah.
How much of that increases just because they take it so much more seriously? You know, I look at, you know, the kids that I've coached kids for a long time and been involved with kids, the kids that take it more seriously and have more discipline are way better than the ones who are just dorking off, you know, even if they're smarter.
Well, let me give you a hint. And this will tell you the importance of language. Do you know why Asians, let me rephrase that. Do you know why Western Occidentals, you know, Caucasians, are better innovators than Asians are? Asians have a slightly higher IQ. White IQ is around 103 to 105. Average Asian between 104 and 108. So they're neck and neck but the Asians are slightly higher IQ. Do you know why whites are better innovators?
I think it's our culture. I think because we feel more free.
Well, let me give you a big hint. It's how we think, and how we think because of how we use language. Now, you look at the Western alphabet, or look at the Russian alphabet, Cyrillic, and we have different letters in there, vowels, consonants. We've got 26, the Russians have 29, 30, whatever it is. And but it's module. You can create a new word by putting together a different combination of letters that hasn't been addressed before. It has a different meaning. We can create a new word. Asians are not. Every word, every character in the kanji alphabet is unique to itself. This symbol means this word and only this word. And so they're very good at replicating very exactly. But because their language skills are not modular like ours are, we have all these modules of letters that we can combine in unique combinations to make new words. It influences how our thought processes are and how we think.
If your digestion is off and your metabolism is slow, it could be due to gluten. According to Harvard MD Dr. Alessio Fasano, we are able to completely digest every protein we put into our mouths with the exception of one, and that's gluten. Gluten is everywhere, almost all restaurant foods, salad dressing, soy sauce, and many, many more. Due to gluten, people are suffering from symptoms including joint pain, headaches, skin issues, digestive problems, weight gain, brain fog, and lowered immunity. Most people suffer from at least three of these. Also, people are getting gluten contamination on a daily basis. Some have more tolerance and experience less symptoms, while others are more sensitive and their health degrades faster. The good news is that there is an enzyme complex which specifically breaks down gluten, DDP4. Learn more about this amazing enzyme and be able to eat the foods you want and get back to a healthier you. Click the link below.
It's language. It's an aspect of culture, but then that translates into everything, and it kind of vibrates out. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You look at the English language. I mean, 20 years ago, so you said, "I'm going to Google it." What the hell does that mean? You know, I mean, you wouldn't have known 20, 30 years ago what the word Google is. You know, and you know, we're constantly inventing new words to fit the application of the meaning it has to us at that time. Whereas Asians don't invent new words. It's difficult because they've got kanji characters are unique to themselves. And if you have a 10,000 word vocabulary that you could write, you're considered a scholar in Asia. But a 10,000 word vocabulary in this country is nothing.
It's our freedom of thought and expression is much richer, I think.
Well, that is the key. That is why the West, whether it's Western Europe, the United States, Western culture, that is what makes us successful is our use of the language. And that is one of our strongest, most powerful assets that we have against any and all comers around the world, including the Asians.
That's awesome. Where can people see more of your work? I know you you appear on different channels and different things. Where can they see your stuff?
Well, I've been doing a lot of work for Press TV. And in fact, I've got an interview tomorrow at 12:30 with Press TV, a one-on-one interview for an hour about the topic of Venezuela and what's really going on down there, because that's gotten a lot of interest around the world. You saw my interview the other day. I dropped a hint on something that I'm not going to articulate yet. Because I haven't.
I know. I wanted to know. You said it's not going to happen. They're not going to be successful.
I have one source giving me a data point that's credible. I need a second source before I'll go public with it, and a third one I'll have full confirmation. So I'm doing everything I can do to get this confirmed.
I respect that for you. You need to send me an email, and then I'll I'll know.
I'll be doing another interview there. I've been appearing on Press TV about once a week. For that debate show, and I do my very, very best to be honest and be forthright and just spit it out.
Perfect.
But you know, back to this coup that's happening in this country, you have to realize that our constitutional system is gone. It was gone with the Patriot Act after 9/11. It's gone. We have nameless, faceless bureaucrats that are deciding foreign policy, they're deciding domestic policy, they're deciding everything for us without any input from the will of the people. Trump is the first one to come down the pike in a long time to try to change the paradigm and how we work on these things. And the resistance he's getting is fierce. And I really don't understand it, because if the people who are opposing him were raised in the same America that I was, why would they want to take us into a more Soviet-style system? I mean, exactly. It's almost like the United States lost its position as the bastion of democracy and freedom and liberty, and we've become the new Soviet Union.
I think it's like we've lost our minds, like this partial birth abortion stuff.
Well, let me give you a hint about this. And see, I've studied this a long time. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not the dumbest either. And what I've noticed, this is going to be sound a little off the wall here, but I look at the chemtrails I see. I look at the environmental policies we follow. I look at our manufacturing processes. I look at this garbage patch out in the Pacific out there. I look at how plastic it's down to the plankton level now, where we've got micro particles of plastic in the plankton. We've got it in well water now that's been through the, it's everywhere. And I look at how we've lost 60% of the species on this planet in the last 40 years, and it's accelerating. We're approaching an extinction level event on the planet here. And all of these things, I don't think they're disconnected. My friend, Dr. Preston James, wrote about something called the third force a long time ago, where there's an unseen hidden hand that influences human events. I don't know who or what it is, but this appears to be an anti-human agenda that it looks like we're being terraformed is the conclusion that I have come to, that the planet Earth is being terraformed and that we are going to be extinguished as a race, a species, and every other species with us. We're going through the fifth mass extinction on this planet right now. And that saddens me and it terrifies me, because who or what can do these things? Because the actions that we're taking globally around the world, nuclear weapons, all this nonsense. You know, why do we build nuclear power plants on fault lines? Why are so many of them built on fault lines? When we know, when there was another model out there that would have not have produced any radioactive waste, but General Electric said, well, there's money in disposing of the waste, so we'll volunteer to do that. We'll put out this defective reactor. There's so many things out there. You know, look at this. This is the ubiquitous cell phone here. You look at the advances that have occurred in this since 1985. They went from those big block Motorola, the bricks that were yay big, that had the antenna sticking out, that $3,500 for that thing, down to this thing for, $180, $200. We've made tremendous advances. There's more computing power in this phone than went to the moon with Apollo missions. We made tremendous advances in electronics, but we've made no advances in energy. We're still dependent on oil.
We've made a lot of advances in energy, just it hasn't permeated through society. But go ahead.
Well, no, they've been repressed. And, yes. I look at what I forget the guy's name. He was head of Lockheed Martin talking about the Skunk Works, where he said, we now have the ability to take E.T. home or to send E.T. home, whatever it was. Reagan's Star Wars initiative, the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, the hundreds of billions of dollars that were spent in that to develop these technologies when George H.W. Bush took office, they went from secret to off the books. I mean, you can't find anything on them. They went to
it's all black.
And you can't find them anymore. You can barely find references of these things. I mean, I remember reading technical publications on how to use a small nuclear device to create a nuclear pumped X-ray laser. And, I don't believe that these technologies disappeared. I think that they're just not being shared with us. I agree with Richard Dolan in his opinion that there is a breakaway civilization living among us, and that the missing $21 trillion that our government can't account for, 6.8 to the Pentagon, in addition to the 2.3 that disappeared the day before 9/11, that these things are funding these initiatives, off-world initiatives, I'll say.
Well, what do you think? Because it seems so wrong that they're taking our money to do their own thing. I mean, they just, you know, people say we're like chickens. They don't care. We're cattle.
It's theft. If you put your purse next down on the train or the bus, and somebody reaches your purse and grabs your money and walks away, that's wrong too. It's theft. It's simple theft. They're stealing from us. They're stealing from the American people, and we funded it. So let me give you another hint here. The Russians are. The U.S. spends $717 billion a year on defense. A lot of our defense programs, like the F-35 fighter or the USS Zumwalt, these are programs that are meant to be defective, to create a cash cow going forward so that the defense contractor can sell continuous upgrades for the life of the program over 50 years, okay? The F-35 was meant to be a POS from the beginning, so they can continually sell you upgrades. It's like Microsoft. You know, every 2 weeks they want to upgrade this, they want to upgrade that, they want to download an upgrade for you. And, you know, enough already. The Russians have a different approach. They have cost-effective, efficient fighting platforms out there. They already have, hypersonic vehicles and have hypersonic delivery systems out there that the U.S. can do nothing about. They have a lot more than that as well. We have a lot more than that as well, but the Russians are bringing theirs into manufacturing where we're lagging bringing it into manufacturing. And the reason we're lagging is because they're trying to protect the deep black super advanced programs that they have. They don't want to give any hints because once you know that there is a zero point energy source out there, why are you going to buy their gasoline anymore? Why are you going to buy another car that burns oil-based petroleum products?
Well, yeah, because the zero point energy, you can tap into the ether, and they know how to do it, and they did it at the University of Colorado, and they did it all over the place, and MIT.
Anybody knows how either disappears, gets killed, or gets silenced somehow.
They get broke.
Now look at this. If we had free energy, the way we pay for energy, we have to go put, you know, $50-$60 in my gas tank to drive someplace. That's like a tax. It's a tax on transportation. If that didn't exist, what happens to their revenue source? And how do they control you?
Well, the petrodollar, right? I mean, that's a big reason. They're not going to change our energy source until this whole petrodollar goes away.
So, I've been filled with a sense of dread for a number of months. And I've been talking to friends about it and coming out a little bit and say, look, I'm depressed. I feel a sense of dread about the future. And, you know, one of my friends said, well, be more forward looking. Keep looking at the past. I said, no, I'm very forward looking. That's why I have a sense of dread, because I don't know what's coming and I know it's not going to be good. But the people who are in control and essentially control every aspect of our life on this planet aren't going to give up easily. And we've got to take the fight to them somehow. And I'm not sure how to do it. If I had a clear path on how to fight them, I'd be on the front lines today. And I'd be a lot more cheerful, but I don't have a clear path.
Let me give you a little bit of light. I do know that there's a lot of disease, you know, cancer treatments that people are really serious about moving it forward. They're being more stealth. It's working. I do know that there's energy like plasma and people are tapping into that and it's working. So I know on a number of fronts, I know the human trafficking, you got like Jim Rothstein that has solutions. We just have to get it out to people. And there's enough of an awakening that people need to look at these things and support these people because there's solutions here. And we just got to, I see both sides of it. I'm seeing the light because I'm talking to people with solutions. I'm looking for those solutions. In fact, they're coming to me. It's weird. It's like God is involved.
I have two, and let me digress a little bit. But I've you've heard of Kesh, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've met with Kesh a number of times. I've been to his house when he was living in Verona, Italy. I was with him when they opened, the Spaceship Institute at Loom University in Bari, Italy. I've been there. I've spent time with him. I've really, really, really looked at his solutions. and what he has there. And, you know, Keshe, he'll show you 95% of the puzzle, but he won't give you that last 5%. You know, he wants you to invent it. And, you know, he wants everyone to grow the GANs and create these things, build them yourself. And then when they don't work, he can turn around and blame you because you didn't build it right. But I've studied this stuff.
Is there something off with him? So you're saying there's something off with that? Because I've heard the controversy on him.
Yeah, so something doesn't make sense there. Now, there's another guy named Dan Winter. And Dan Winter is an electrical engineer. I remember being in Keshe's living room with Dan Winter, Keshe, and a friend of mine, Brett Baggett. And we were having a discussion about the nature of plasma. And, you know, the conventional physicists are telling Keshe that, no, that's not plasma. The conventional definition of plasma is of a superheated gaseous form where electrons have been stripped away and all you have left is the nucleus of the atom. That's considered plasma by conventional physicists. And I was encouraging Keshe, well, change the name of what your phenomena is here that you're calling plasma. Change it to something else that maybe people will embrace it and study it more and not reject you as being a crackpot. No. This is the true plasma. He argued with me. I mean, when it's a simple name change, it's like going on the border. Is it a fence? Is it a wall? I don't care what you call it. Build the damn thing. Keep the illegals out. And so I really want Keshe to be successful. I want him to deliver on the promises he alludes to. But he takes no efforts to help himself when he has people who are friendly to him and trying to encourage him, say, make a minor change. Semantically, it doesn't matter if you call it plasma or schmasma. It doesn't matter. But if conventional physics is rejecting your definition of it because it conflicts with theirs, then change your name.
So yeah, who cares? We have to look for solutions. Yeah.
All people want is for the solution to work. And you would have 90% of the people on this planet, bowing down and kissing your feet if you could deliver an energy source that was truly plasma based in the way you describe it in your literature. But no, he's stubborn. He won't do it. I don't understand him. But I want him to be successful. I want one of these guys to be successful. I mean, Tom Bearden did some great work, but I never saw the end product. I want to see someone deliver something that is fungible, tangible, that you can turn it on and by golly, it works. Whether it's anti-gravity and it levitates, whether it's an energy source, whether a new propulsion drive, these are all things that need to be let out of the bottle. Well, Trump promised to bring these things to the forefront in his inauguration speech when he was inaugurated that day.
What's interesting, his uncle, I don't know if you've been following this, his uncle was in charge of the Tesla files and he was big at MIT. He has a connection there to some incredible work.
Yes, I've heard that. And I want to see this work get out. I mean, you know, the American taxpayer paid for everything since 1980 when Reagan was in office, the whole SDI program. We have a right to see it. If there are workable solutions out there, we need to see it. We have a right to it. We paid the bill for it. Damn it. Let's see the product.
So. Okay. So what is the best website they can go to see your stuff?
Go to VTVeteransToday.com. I mean, I've not been publishing much lately, but I will draw to your attention an article I published back in 2011. It was called Foreign Policy Failure, Mexico. And you could read my recommendations for what it takes to solve the problem and what it calls for. There's two big things that will solve the illegal immigration problem. One of them is we have to take a book out of General Blackjack Pershing's book, and that is we have to authorize our military to operate within the Mexican territory and put a no man's land up there that nothing gets crossed unless it's authorized. That way we don't have the problem with them coming on a U.S. soil, asking for amnesty, you know, disappearing in the system, catch and release, all that. It all happens in Mexico. It's contained over there. We don't have to deal with it. The other thing we have to do is the Simpson-Mazzoli Act of 1986, which gave amnesty. They promised us 800,000 people. They delivered 3.2 million people for that free amnesty. Was that we were going to have border enforcement and internal enforcement. Now, Simpson-Mazzoli calls for a six-month jail term and a $3,000 fine for every illegal you're hiring.
Never that would enforced. End things quickly.
It's never been enforced. Mm-hmm. So if Trump really wanted to do something, he would go out to Tyson Foods, pick up their all their C-level officers and their board of directors, and round up the illegals they've got working there and say, all right, you've got 800 illegals working here. That's 400 years of jail time that you 25 guys are going to divvy up amongst yourselves, and we're going to fine your company $3,000 a piece for every illegal you've got. So you're going to have to write a check for $24 million.
So that's a huge problem. We have many problems. We have there's eight, just under Obama, I saw a congressional report, I don't know if it was Senate or congressional, that stated that 800,000 South American children were trafficked over the border. There are many issues with our borders.
Well, there are. And one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about and is that all human trafficking is not sex trafficking. Some human trafficking is for organ harvesting.
Organ harvesting, sex trafficking, for work, for labor, for all sorts of crap.
Let me give you another example. New York just approved this abortion up to till the woman dilates. This is an abomination. But a 20-week-old fetus is worth about $20,000. The tissue parts in there. A full-term fetus is worth about $150,000. Do the math.
That's where I was saying they lost their freaking mind.
They've lost their soul. It's not their mind. They're murdering full-term infants that could survive on their own outside
the
body.
They're murdering.
I mean, how many preemies out there have been born at seven and a half months that survive in the incubator, grow up to be normal people? And they're killing them. This is infanticide. This is insanity. This is another hallmark of this inhuman influence that is terraforming and destroying life on this earth.
I don't know how. That's why I'm saying they lost their. You say they lost their souls. They lost their souls. They lost their minds. They're just. It's incredible.
So, but these are all things that are going on. This is the world I live in. I immerse myself in these topics all the time. I talk to people. Like I told you, I've met with Keshe. I've been to his house. I've been to Syria. I've met with the Minister of Justice over there. I mean, I go places. I see things. I don't believe what I read on the newspaper or watch on the TV. And that's one thing that the VT crew does is, we don't take other people's word for it. We have boots on the ground. And I may have said this last time I was on with you, but the thing that's unique about veterans today is it's not just U.S. veterans. We've got Pakistani veterans. We've got Russian veterans. We've got Chinese veterans. We've got Korean veterans. We've got veterans from virtually every country in the world have one thing in common. That they've been in combat. They've been in the military. They've served. They understand what it is. And that's what makes veterans today unique among other publications, among other things, is that these are all people who have this in common. There is a brotherhood among these people that we may have been on different sides of the battle lines, but we have this in common. We were there, they were
well,
there.
And I got to go back to the point where you said you're kind of depressed, because I kind of have this melancholy too. I took the week off last week and stuff, didn't do any interviews. I'm really working hard to look at from a solution standpoint, because I do know there's people out there doing solutions, and I'm investing a chunk of my time on the solution side, because that's the only way, I think, to keep sanity.
Well, the thing that I've had more than one of my friends tell me, Mike, if you want to change the world, change yourself first. And I'm trying to change myself, to make myself a better man, a better person. And quite frankly, I'm stumped. because I want to affect bigger, better changes. I've got a 20-year-old son, a senior in college, and I want him to inherit a better world. Whenever he has kids and things, I want my grandkids to have a better world. I don't want to have this insane place that we're living in now be there for him. And so I don't know. One more thing I have to touch on, this Q phenomenon. You're familiar with that, I'm sure.
I'm pretty familiar with the Q, yeah.
What's your opinion on this? Is this the biggest psyop in the world, or is this for real?
My opinion is, I don't know. I think it's a combination of people are, here's the deal. People are learning a lot through it, and they're, you know, I had an interview with Dustin Nemos, and he's like, it doesn't even matter if it's real or not, because people have learned so much from it, and it's waking people up. So I like that. So that, you know, put that aside, I have a hard time believing it's real.
Well, that's the thing, you know. One thing about the Q is always saying, oh, trust the plan, trust sessions, trust this, the 50,000, the 60,000, the 70,000, the 80,000, seal, they're on their way. Where are they?
I agree with you 100%. I'm like, come on. I know.
Come on. I mean, you can only keep my interest so long. It's like when you go to the carnival and you can't knock that last milk jug over because it's got lead in the bottom. You know, you're only going to spend as much as you got in your pocket to knock it over. And if it doesn't go, you walk away. And so, I mean, they have to deliver something factual here, something that you can correlate directly with what they're telling us to what's real, to what we can see and observe. I want to see some evidence here. But it's, you know, the bottom line is our government is completely corrupted. We have Hillary Clinton, who destroyed her BlackBerries, what used bleach bit on her hard drives, lied to Congress, lied to the FBI, walking around free. And this poor dope, Roger Stone, who didn't do anything wrong, just, you know, wasn't honest enough to Mueller and his team. He's going to jail for the rest of his life if they convict.
It's crazy. I went off the deep end. I don't know if I think Roger Stone's all that great of a guy, but the difference is the trafficking and the human compromise and the abuses of millions of people. And then you take Roger Stone down because of a process crime.
Because somebody said he turned left and he said he turned right, you know, and these are silly, silly, silly things. But, you know, you go back to who Mueller is. You know, Mueller is one of the most powerful people in this country, and he was before he became the special prosecutor. And here's why. Mueller took over the FBI September 1st of 2001. We all know what happened on September 11th, 2001. And Mueller destroyed the crime scenes, confiscated the tapes of the Pentagon, whatever the object was striking it. I believe it was a cruise missile. You know, all this stuff disappeared. All of the debris from 9/11 was sent to China to be re-smelted over there. Why would they send it to China unless they wanted to get rid of it and, you know, destroy the crime scene evidence? So Mueller is in, you know, he's the guy who really was in charge of the cover-up. Giuliani was in on it. He was the mayor of New York at the time. Why is he representing Donald Trump as his attorney? I wouldn't let Giuliani get 10 feet from me, given how dirty he is.
I know, that's the questions I have with Donald Trump. It's like why does he have some of these people around him?
I can't guess. I cannot guess. I mean, I wrote Trump. I wrote his wife. I wrote Bannon. I wrote Ivanka. I wrote Jared. I wrote both of his sons. I wrote, you know, Corey Lewandowski. I wrote them all and said, look, I'm here. I'd like to go to work for you guys in whatever capacity, no job too large or too small. I'll do anything to help the Trump administration succeed. I didn't hear a peep back. Nothing. Nothing. I ran for governor of Arizona in 2006. I lost. And I was finance chairman for the Republican Party in the 94 election cycle. I'm not without skills. I'm not, like I said, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not the dumbest one either. And it's one thing about it, Trump could trust me because I wouldn't betray him, because he wants what I want. I want this country to thrive and prosper and do well. I want all of our people. You know what I mean? I want to end the war on poverty. I want our permanent underclass, blacks, whites, I want them to succeed. I want all of our people to prosper. I don't want anybody to have to live on a government handout and say, well, I need more money, I have to have another child. You know, I don't want women to have to think that way. And, you know, I want people to do better. I want our country to, driving down the road, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, the roads are awful, potholes everywhere. We don't get rain or snow here. They don't spend the money to upgrade the surface streets, or the highways. Drive up and down the I-5 in California. Good God, it's awful. I mean, we spent $7 trillion in Afghanistan and Iraq for what? What did we get out?
Yes.
Nothing.
We spent so much money on that and we're abandoning ourselves here. And then they're taking money for those black projects. It's like there's so much money and we're just ignoring us.
Have you been to Chicago, LaGuardia? What a dump of an airport. We need new airports. We need new rail stations. We need new ports. We need new freeways. All of it. I mean, we're pissing money every place else in the world except spending it here on our own people. We need schools. We need hospitals. We need all of these things.
I know. You know? It's terrible. Will you stick around for my patrons?
Absolutely. Anything for you, darling.